Hej og velkommen til Salt Lederskapspodcast. Vi ønsker å hjelpe ledere I både kirke og samfunnsliv til å lede med enda større trygghet, sunnhet og effektivitet, og bidra til vekst og positiv samfunnsutvikling. Om du også ønsker å bidra ved å gi en gave etter å ha hørt denne podcasten, gå gjerne inn på salt.co og se hvordan. Tusen takk for at du hører på.
Welcome to the Leadership Podcast. This week we will do it in English because we do have an English guest. My name is Øystein. I'm the pastor of the Salt Church in Bergen. And today, Patrick O'Connell from Christian Community Church and New Thing Network is with me. How are you, Patrick?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Tell me a little bit about your story.
Yeah, so I guess the big part is I'm really surprised I'm a Christian, frankly. I didn't expect that to happen in my life. I have a nominal Catholic background. My name's O'Connell, and I'm from Chicago, and that really goes hand in hand. But
That mean Irish also?
Yeah, Irish and half Italian. Half Irish, half Italian.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but didn't really have anyone that I knew who was following Jesus in any serious way. And like most American kids my age, just fell away from the church. And once my parents were divorced, I literally never stepped into church again. But I came to this season of my life much later on, in my early 30s, when the way I call it is I came to the end of myself.
How did your life look then?
Well, before that, it was a little time in the military, college, and then business. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I used to trade stocks and bonds.
Oh, okay.
And so was doing really well in business. Did that whole thing really well. Climbed the corporate ladder, but found that I was never truly called to that work. Okay. There was always something that was a little bit missing for me.
Did you have a family at this point?
I did.
Yeah.
Married to a wife, my wife Nancy. We've been married 25 years now. Mm-hmm. And three kids. But when I was young, I was really into punk rock. That's actually where I met my wife. I met her in a punk rock mosh pit.
Wow.
And I was one of those guys that wanted to save the world, wanted to do right by the world. So the fact that I had kind of got into business and was working for the man in a way and was on the fast track in the corporate world was a little bit dismaying to me. I'm like, how did this happen? Mm. That was kind of the crisis point of life for me. So it was kind of the professional crisis, a personal crisis, like, is there anything more? I'm tired of living without hope. And that was the season that God got a hold of my life.
What happened?
So my wife and I moved into a new neighborhood, you know, because when you're hurting in America, you just buy more things.
Right.
And so I thought that was the answer to it. And a bigger house would make everything nicer and better, but it didn't. But we ran into a couple who was attending community at that time, the church that you mentioned in the beginning. And my wife and this woman became friends, mm-hmm. and she would invite my wife to church all the time. And we said no. We just were not interested at all. Eventually, my wife went just so she would be quiet and not ask her the question anymore. And my wife, the first day she went to community, she literally had an experience with Jesus.
Wow.
It changed her life. That was transformational for her. I didn't want anything to do with it, but I couldn't help notice that things were changing
for
her.
How was that conversation when she came home and told you about this?
No Christian music. Don't expect me to go. You're being swindled. They're liars. Right. You know, all those things that, because I was pretty much opposed to the church, as you might suspect by now. But I couldn't help but see that there were some things differently, things different in her life. She treated me different. She was more loving and kind. She was kind of more missional. She was more at peace. It's hard to put my finger on it, but I noticed the change. You know?
How long time was this from her experience to the first time that you would enter into a church?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah. I know. It sounds really bad right now, doesn't it? Like, I can be stubborn, though, my friend.
Okay.
I didn't want anything to do with it, but it was 3 years. She went with our kids. She took our kids to services, and I would just go out and hang with the mates, you know,
now,
go out with my buddies.
Did they get involved in Sunday school?
No, she prayed for me to come to church. That was, you know, really her only prayer. And the kids would go to Kid City and all that. She didn't get baptized because she wanted to, she thought that would be something that, as a Catholic, you're not supposed to do a second time.
Sure.
But it was during that season that I came to this kind of this personal crisis, and it was about 3 years later that I was actually starting to go back to the Catholic Church. I thought I would find my way back to God at the Catholic Church, but it turned out to be I would find my way back to God at community.
What happened?
Well, I've always been a seeker. As I said, I was always this guy that wanted to see peace and hope and love in the world. I guess I'm an ex-hippie in that way, you know.
Okay.
And I didn't put two and two together until I really started thinking and studying Jesus's life once again and noticing that in many ways, and I don't want to be a critic of the church in any sense, but in many ways I wasn't seeing the full picture of Jesus. Mm. And my eyes weren't being drawn to him. My heart wasn't being drawn to him. And when I read the Bible again, because I had read it several times, when I read the Bible again, seeing what was going on in my wife's life, it was kind of like something ignited in me.
Wow.
And I went to services with her as a good husband. I wanted to, hey, this church you're going to seems pretty cool. Maybe I should try it. And I just say it this way. I had new lenses on my glasses. Mm. I could see things differently. And at community, the two things they ask you to do immediately is say yes to Jesus through baptism. And so we did that and join a small group.
So the both of you chose to get baptized at the same time?
Same night. She baptized me.
And then she baptized you. And then did you baptize her?
No. Our mutual friend baptized her.
Oh, okay.
And then she baptized me, and then we baptized our daughter. And literally as I was coming out of the water that night, my small group leader tapped me on the shoulder and asked me to be his small group apprentice.
Fantastic. And small group apprentice means, because now you didn't just come to Jesus and get a new life, and that we would say it, or you also got a new direction.
True.
When you use the word small group apprentice, what does that mean?
So the culture of community is one of small groups, 8 to 12 people who meet weekly to discuss the word, to pray together, to help people, you know, help each other move through life as Christ followers. And at community, there's a deliberate leadership culture. Mm. And the first step on that leadership pathway is apprenticeship. And simply means that if you are my apprentice, you and I spend time together, diatribo, right? Just like Jesus taught us. And the goal is that at the end of that apprenticeship process, you would go out and start your own group. And I would go out and start another group, and that's how we multiply things. I didn't have all this at the time.
Well, it's fantastic to hear the story. You come up out of the water,
literally.
You get tapped on the shoulder, and you become an apprentice.
Correct.
Now, that journey of apprenticeship in a small group led you, after a while, to go into church planting.
Yes. So it gets even crazier. Because remember, I was resistant to Jesus. And as soon as I said yes to Jesus, and I really got a clarity about what God was doing in my life, I was all in. I'm a very poor poker player, so let's not play poker together because I will lose. It's all in. But I was ready for mission. I was ready to get out there. And I didn't expect to leave the corporate world. I didn't expect my life to change in any way. But the other thing that happened at community was I heard about the kingdom of God. It's a church planting church.
Right.
And we had prayed over and sent over teams to go out and start new churches. And that was something that was like, man, these guys are serious. That was inspiring to me. And then one day I was at Leadership Community, and that's a kind of a platform for leadership development. And they announced that this couple was going to go leave to plant a church in Kansas City.
Kansas City, that's a state in Missouri?
It's a city in Missouri.
In the state of Missouri.
Yes, correct. And I didn't have any plans to go to Kansas City at all, trust me, because it's a much smaller city than Chicago.
Yeah.
But I love Janet and Troy. And Janet was my small group coach at that time. And he used to be on staff at community, and he gives me this big barrel hug as we were going to, you know, he said, hey, we're off to plant this church. He says, but I've been praying for you. Huh. And I'm like, what about? Well, come in with us. And at first I was kind of mad. Like, why would you think that I would even go with you? But you know what? 6 months later, we were in Kansas City to plant the church with Troy and Janet, along with other 20 people.
You left your job.
Yeah.
You uprooted the kids from school.
Yep.
And moved
to Kansas City. And we had a dream to plant a network of reproducing churches. I remember sitting around Janet and Troy's kitchen table. We had no church. We had nothing. And we had a dream. And we challenged ourselves to pray about, could we be a catalyst to change the spiritual landscape of Kansas City?
Now, in lay terms, Patrick, that would mean when you come to Kansas City, you're not just aiming to plant one church in one location, but you're thinking, how can we map the city out and plant new churches all over the metro area?
Exactly right. It's a big dream.
How long did you stay there in Kansas City?
So we were there for 6 years.
Okay.
And I began coaching and training church planters. Went back to Wheaton, got a degree in missional church movements. I did all the theological stuff. Knew that God was going to use me somehow in church planting, probably to help others do it. But that was a very fruitful ministry in Kansas City. We started three locations.
Three churches.
Yep. And we started a brand new network of churches. That network is now about 12 churches working together. They have a dream to plant 100 new churches in Kansas City together.
That is fantastic.
It's quite extraordinary.
So one church becomes a movement of churches.
Yes.
In one metro area.
It's possible.
Fantastic.
It's
Six possible. Years there, then you came back to Chicago.
Yeah, understand. We were getting ready to plant our fourth location, and Dave Ferguson, who's the lead visionary of New Thing, gave us a call and said, I'd like to talk to Patrick about possibly being the director of New Thing. And, you know, I've had clarity about what God was going to do in my life three times. When I found my way back to him, I knew God was calling us to go to Kansas City. And then I knew God was going to use me in this next season, which meant we were going to move back to Chicago, where New Thing is.
And what happened then? How were you so assured? And we're going to get into the story of what New Thing is and what a network of church planting movements is in a second. But I'm just curious, what was it that happened that made you so sure that this is something that you need to go and do?
The morning that Dave called Troy, who called me, I was literally driving into Kansas City from the north, and you could see the whole skyline of the city. And I'd been there 6 years, and I asked this prayer of God. I said, God, break my heart for this city once and for all. Like, make sure that, God, you are calling me to be a part of this community and what you're doing in this city. And it was that night that Dave Ferguson...
that he called you.
That I got the word that he had called and wanted to talk to
now,
me.
Now, Dave Ferguson has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
He is known as a very loyal leader, pastor. He stayed in the same place for a long, long time.
Yes.
So when he calls you... as far as I know, this was at a time when there was a new vision being born also at Christian Community Church in Chicago, where this network called New Thing was going to be formed. Now, where does the word New Thing come from?
Yeah, out of Isaiah 43, and it's all about God as a God of new things. Mm-hmm. And if you go back to the scriptures there, it basically the prophet's pleading, don't you see? I'm doing a new thing.
Right.
I literally grow things in the desert. I make a way in the path. Water springs forth from the dry ground. And it's very compelling to me personally because it reminds me that no matter our kind of our situation in life or in ministry or in business or in leadership, that God's capable of doing immeasurably more.
God does new things. And
all
when
the
I've
time.
Read the book that Dave Ferguson and his brother John wrote called Exponential,
yes,
he maps out the first dream he got in high school, I believe, or in college,
yes,
of churches in the Chicagoland area. So then New Thing becomes kind of the broadening of that vision.
Correct.
The name comes, you come to Chicago, you accepted the job, and now you're working as the global director.
Isn't it crazy?
It is a crazy story.
It's a crazy story because I had never planned to even be a Christian, let alone a church planner, and now the fact that I get to work with great leaders like you, Oystein, and doing things across the globe now by God's grace, it's been amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And it's proof positive that God will use anyone in any situation to do something beautiful.
That is fantastic. Now, just give us a few numbers of how many churches right now would you say are influenced just of the New Thing realm? How many have you registered now globally?
Yeah, we've got approximately 1,300 churches that I would call are a part of New Thing. And New Thing's a catalyst for movements of reproducing churches. So our role in the kingdom is to catalyze new things, mm-hmm, and particularly new churches. There are many other things we could do for the kingdom and should do for the kingdom, but New Thing's role is to catalyze new church planting.
The key word here is catalyze.
Yes.
How would you expound on that?
It's a great question. I make the difference. I describe it this way. New Thing is a centered set organization versus a bounded set organization. So if you maybe think about a business or a denomination or a church, they tend to be bounded set in their structure and in their kind of their cultural ethos. Nothing wrong with that. You're either in it or you're out of it, though.
Right.
I would suggest that New Thing is a centered set organization, meaning there are values that align us.
Yeah.
And we all, as different churches from different contexts all over the world, are aligned around those values but orbit them differently and in different ways. But it's still what brings us together are the values of New Thing.
And that's really the experience that we have through the years that we've been working with you is that you've invited us into a world driven by values.
Yes.
Where you're championing the cause of the dreams and the visions that, that is in leaders like yourself around the world that want to plant new churches. Now, there are four R's that continuously are being repeated and that you center around. Would you expound on those for us?
Yes. I think the first thing is, remember, New Thing churches are aligned around the mission of God, meaning the effort to plant new churches. And so that's what brings us together, not denominational heritage or doctrine or theology. Those things are important. However, we can be missionally aligned. We can major in the majors together, and we don't have to be befuddled by the minors.
This is an important issue because you have Presbyterian churches, you have Baptist churches, Lutheran churches,
Reformed churches,
charismatic churches. Yes. So it's around the mission and it's not around theology.
Correct. All under the evangelical umbrella, if you will, but absolutely right.
Wonderful.
And so then the four R's.
Yes.
So you, the four R's are really those values that I suggest are at the middle. The first one is relationships. Mm-hmm. And relationships are important because we value a particular relational framework of 4 to 5 churches in a network. And 4 to 5 networks are a movement. And so at the end of the day, New Thing is about people. And that value system of relationships is all under this idea that the right relationships catalyze reproducing.
Tell us one story about one church that has become a network of four. Just put some names and a place to that concept.
Yeah, I would say that if I even talk about what we did in Kansas City, we began with one church that began to align itself with other like-minded churches, meaning churches that were about the mission of God, per se. They were first about the kingdom versus their own castle first. You know, our castles are important,
yes.
But remember, the castles belong to the kingdom.
Now, castles, you mean your own little
church. Your own little church, your own little thing. And so that has been, that network started as 4 to 5 churches meeting and planting a church together, and then planted another church together, and planted more churches together.
So they're helping each other.
Helping each other. They're working together. They're collaborating.
Yeah, despite what denomination they come from, they just care for their city.
They're for each other. They care for their city. Right. And so while they might come from different traditions, it's okay.
Wonderful.
They can be for each other.
Wonderful.
And so that's relationships. Resources are the next one.
Yes.
And these aren't in any particular order. But it's this idea that that they're all Jesus's resources anyway.
Yes.
And let's share them as needed. And let's devote resources where the kingdom is on fire.
Right.
Let's throw resources there. So there is a financial component that New Thing churches contribute financially to their local network. That money stays in the local network so that they can do new things together. But it's this notion of sharing resources.
Now, is that also teaching?
Teaching, discipleship platforms, people, you name it. Like, how do we get the mission done?
Are people good at utilizing them?
Or
are you fun? Yeah?
No, yeah, absolutely. It's funny how much collaboration spurns kingdom movement. It really is. When churches come together and say, let's put the kingdom first, let's figure out how we can reach our city or reach our region or reach our country. God can jump right into that one.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So
it's really a generous spirit, and I just want to affirm that. Like Scripture says that though the people that have the world of the generous grows larger and larger.
Yeah.
And in many ways, it is an open-hand economy in New Things. So the resource thing, we're grateful for what we've learned from you over the years and that we've been able to contribute.
Yeah.
Even though our language is a little different than yours. The third one.
So third one would be residency. So if we are really going to catalyze church planting movements, we need to invest in the next generation of leaders. So our vision has always been one leadership resident per site per year. A leadership resident is an apprentice church planter. He or she is doing a 9 to 12 month apprenticeship with a New Thing church that will then send that person out to plant a new reproducing church, and on it goes. And so that is one of the ways we hope to catalyze new movements of reproducing churches by being responsible to our responsibility of investing in the next generation of leaders.
Tell us a story about an example, a man or a woman that chose to be a resident in the
church. Yeah, so I'll tell you the story of my friend Matt Miller in Kansas City. I know some of these stories in Kansas City. Matt did a residency with 3 New Thing churches in Kansas City. went out and planted New City Church just about 4 years ago. New City Church is now three, soon to be four locations, and Matt's vision is to plant a whole network of churches in more of the rural communities around Kansas City.
Okay.
He's a really great leader. He's a gifted leader, but he's got a big, extraordinary vision, and what the residency allowed him to do was, number one, be equipped to start a new reproducing church, but then more importantly, the churches that sent him to plant contributed financially. And they told their people, if God's calling you to go with Matt and start this new church, you go with them. They also invited Matt to come to their platforms, their pulpits, and cast vision for a new church, and gave a very open-handed kind of opportunity to their people to join in what God was doing through Matt. It was beautiful.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you're saying that creating a culture for someone to get to learn how to do the church planting job,
yep,
being immersed in a church plant before they go and do it themselves. How important is that for the success of a church planting movement?
Well, I think when it comes down to a reproducing church, I think it's critical, because I do believe reproducing is caught, not taught. You could sit in a classroom and I could teach you about reproducing and I could show you examples of what reproducing is. But the frank matter is, if you don't show a capacity to reproduce at the micro level, you're probably going to struggle to reproduce at the macro level.
Now, that is a key word there, reproduction on the micro and not just on the macro.
Correct.
We can't dive into that one now. We'll do that one next time, Patrick. But there is a fourth R also.
Yeah, the fourth one, and probably the biggest, not necessarily the most important, but the one that is truly unique to New Thing, is reproducing. So we do talk about reproducing at every level. We talk about reproducing small groups and kid city workers and student workers and artists and drummers and campus pastors and location pastors. You name it. Every element, every role in the church is reproducible. And if we can do that at the micro level, one-on-one, then we can certainly do that at the macro level.
Isn't that what happened, though, when you came up out of that water?
Exactly.
That time,
exactly.
Someone tapped you on the shoulder and said, you can lead a life group.
Exactly. And that was game changer for me. And then it was a game changer when somebody invited me to go and be a part of this church planting team. Remember, I didn't get where I am without people tapping me on the shoulder and inviting me to go with them. And that's really what I see as the kind of the crux of reproducing. It's literally, I can boil it down to apprenticeship. Mm. Apprenticeship is one-on-one investing in someone else for them to take over and do what you're doing. It's really about making heroes of other people.
That is just fantastic. When relationships are formed, when resources are shared, when residency is a platform for getting a contagious culture of you can do this, and then reproduction happens.
That's beautiful. Can I steal that?
Hey, you're my guest, my friend.
That is well said, my friend.
I'm so glad that we could have this leadership podcast with Patrick O'Connell, leading the New Thing Network, based in Chicago, but traveling all over the world, championing the cause of church planting. And we are so grateful to know you and cheer on you. Greetings back to Chicago. And we'll continue learning together about how we can reach our world for Jesus.
Thanks for having me.